Ladies and gentlemen, the Honorable Lawrence J. Morrissey, Mayor of the City of Rockford.
Good evening. Members of the Rockford City Council, fellow elected officials, community and civic board leaders, fellow citizens and guests, good evening and welcome to the 2012 State of the City Address. It's my honor again to join you tonight in reviewing the state of our great city as we continue our progress through challenging times. Each year when I have given this address, I've called us to be self-reliant as a community. We can't depend on the state or federal governments to bail us out or to take care of our local problems. In fact, the problems of our state and federal partners are worse now than before. Consequently, it's my intent tonight to point out in very blunt and at times sobering terms the challenges that we face as a city. So tonight, I'd ask us to keep in mind two questions. First, to what length are we willing to work together in our community, knowing that we are, in almost all instances, going to be on our own? And second, what new courage and what new strength might we find, and what bold ideas might we pursue if we know that no one but us stands in the way of our achievement? Frankly, I'm less concerned tonight about what others say of us, whether it's how miserable we are according to Forbes magazine or how low Money magazine may rank us on their list. Yes, we have too much crime. Yes, we have too much poverty. Yes, our property taxes are too high. I'm not ignoring the facts. But it is our choices and our deliberate actions, not the opinions of others, that will define and shape our community into the future. Our actions will determine whether we pursue and achieve the challenging vision that I often speak of, this vision of excellence everywhere, excellence for everyone. We must tonight, therefore, this night, consider our own abilities, our own creativity, our own confidence, determination, and vision. That's all that matters, because this is our city. This is our story. This is our time. And I, for one, feel a growing momentum. Right here tonight, I can feel and hear a heartbeat of positive change for our city. And it's not coming from Washington, and it's not coming from Springfield. It's not coming from Forbes magazine or Money magazine. Our momentum comes from determined souls right here from our community. They wake up every morning ready to make a positive difference for themselves, their families, in our community. And without prodding, without asking for permission, I hear the voice of our future. I hear our young people ready to move, ready to act, and ready to tell our story.
Everybody likes Joe. I haven't met someone that hasn't liked Joe. He's a four-time national champion. He's never lost a state tournament. He's a five-time Illinois state champion. You know, he's 11 years old.
We try to prevent kids from going the wrong direction. We try and provide guidance in a direction. But we're a boxing gym is what we are. You know, we train boxers. This is the real deal. We train champions.
Everyone in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We had 9 champions that day.
Here's Mike. He beat a boy on national qualifier that day. He showed everything he had.
His brother Philip right there.
Philip had his first match that day.
The only problem was he was 230 pounds. At the time, I was 180. So he asked me if I wanted to fight the guy that was like 50 pounds bigger than me.
Boy, the crowd went nuts. Philip fought one of the fan favorites up there. And
I mean, I won.
Everybody won. The whole group won.
Hey, Jimmy, I mean, he's telling me about how to like build myself as a grown-up. You know, like what kind of characteristics to have and all that.
Hard-working kids. They got the drive. They got the motivation. They don't let negative outside influences affect them. Here's one of our female champions, Katrina Senatry. Four-time national champion. She had over 40 fights. She was the best. Some might have a little rougher than others, but these kids all had the potential. I hope I made a positive impact in their lives. I see them grow up. I see some do good. There's other ones that I wish could do a little better. It bothers me. I can't dwell on it, though. I'm just an outside influence. We got some of our kids go through the class program. They graduate the class program. Because what happens? You think you can steal two. Next thing you know, like, oh, man, two is not enough. I need 10. I need 100. And I need 1,000. We don't get paid, though. Coaches. It's all volunteer. That's what you need. It was just always something on the side that we like to do just for fun. I want to hopefully build good citizens in society. And boxing, it'll teach you to deal with some tough times. You always hear how people say, not life knocks you down, but do you get up and keep going? Or do you just lay down and let everybody walk all over you? It always hit the right kind of kids and families. The ones that didn't really have a whole lot. There was always a gym for them to go to.
I don't remember if it was that piece or that piece. But I did contribute. I did contribute.
Thank you to local filmmaker Pablo Corona and Jimmy Goodman and all of his champion young boxers. I don't know about you, but I'm inspired by the fight in those young men and ladies. They're all champions. They're all working. They're all working hard. And it also reminds me tonight that we have to congratulate our young champions at East and Auburn High School. They've done a great job in this year's basketball tournament. They've been turning around their programs through the leadership and support from a lot of the adults in our community, and they're reflecting back the faith and the belief that we have in them. And it's that faith and belief that we have in ourselves that we need to keep in mind as I share with you tonight some of the tough facts that we're confronting. First, as we know all too well, the city has struggled for years as we've dealt with a sluggish world economy, increasing labor and health care and pension costs. We've had dilapidated infrastructure and divestment in parts of our central city. Our property tax base has also been declining since 2009. We've seen a loss of over $150 million in our assessed value of our community. And our sales tax revenues for 2011, they were still at 2001 levels. Our unemployment rate in figures released today continues to be very high, at 14.6% for the city of Rockford and 13.5% for our metro area. That puts our community, the city of Rockford and our metro area, among the highest metro unemployment rates in the nation. Recognizing our challenge, our city council has aggressively managed our budget process. We've started earlier, meeting as often as we need. As a result, we've passed our last two budgets, despite all of these challenges, earlier than any time that anyone on the council can remember. Most importantly, those budgets have all been balanced, and we finished 2011 with a fund balance and a reserve. In fact, we finished with that balance because we have worked hard and worked together. And we've also, through that, continued to pay down our general fund and long-term debt obligations. I want to thank personally our city council members tonight for working collaboratively and working together to get that done. I ask now that we recognize them for their service. We know it has not been easy. In the city of Rockford, we're down over 100 employees since 2008, and we're at the lowest level of staffing per resident of our community since we started keeping records in 1980. Yes, we feel the stress of short staffing each and every day. We feel stress on our budget, but it's no different than the stress that our taxpayers feel each day managing their own home budgets. We've many shared struggles among us, but I'm proud of the results we've achieved under these conditions. We'll need that same type of effort heading into 2013. Unfortunately, our state and federal government partners have much bigger problems. From the recent report of the Civic Federation, and I quote, "Given rising Medicaid and pension costs and the scheduled partial sunset of the income tax increase, the Civic Federation's analysis shows that Illinois' unpaid bills could rise to $34.8 billion, that's unpaid bills, by the end of 2017, if change does not occur. And as of June 30th of 2011, the state of Illinois has an accumulated unfunded pension liability of $83.1 billion and a combined funded ratio of 43.3%. That's according to the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability. I appreciate our Governor Quinn's direct recognition of these challenges, including recently his budget discussion in which he specifically stated his willingness to tackle the toughest political budget items, including Medicaid and pension funding. But to get through this, we know our local communities will feel the pain. We've already heard of the proposed closure of Singer Mental Health Center. An even more significant impact may loom from the state's proposal to shift the costs of the downstate teachers' pension system. The current proposal is to move those costs to our local school districts. And if that happens, according to a recent Rockford Register-Star report, the hit to the district's budget could be as high as $36 million. Matters are no better for our federal government. Over the last several years, we've seen massive growth in our annual budget deficits. In fact, the federal debt, which is the measure of all budget deficits combined from the founding of our nation today to today, has grown to over $15 trillion. As a percentage of our gross domestic product, that debt is at levels not seen since World War II. That's why I'm firmly convinced that we must act like we are on our own, because I just can't see how our nation can sustain its current rate of deficit spending. So what are the implications for Rockford? First, we must be prepared for cuts that will impact our city's poor the most directly. I expect future cuts to our local block grant entitlement funds. I expect cuts to our affordable housing funds. I expect cuts to student financial aid, education funds, and Medicaid. Second, we should not expect to be saved by economic development grants from Washington. If we can get some help from them, then great. But it's really up to our city, our state, and our local partners to chart our own path for recovery and to tell our own story. Thankfully, our citizens have approved local investments for our roads and other public infrastructure to help us build a lasting and sustainable economic foundation. We've come a long way since we passed our first Rebuilding Rockford referendum in 2007. We're building a strong physical infrastructure to make a strong city. And despite the terrible recession last March, nearly 75% of our citizen taxpayers who came out to vote voted yes to extend the program for another 5 years. I'm convinced that we've gotten that support because we've done what we said we would do and we've involved our citizens in the process. Thank you, Rockford, for your continued support. Through that program, we've already generated $65 million in local sales tax revenues. That's helped us to bring an additional $96 million in state and federal funds. That's also allowed us to pave or rebuild over 73 miles of road. We've made major strides to reduce the hazards also caused by flooding and stormwater, acquiring 112 homes and businesses in the Keith Creek floodway. We've taken down over 88 of those structures to prepare for the long-term improvements to that floodway. Over and above all of those investments, construction should begin soon on the state's rail improvements that will bring passenger rail back to the city of Rockford and a new $13 million South Main Rail and multimodal transportation station. And by midsummer, we'll also be able to enjoy a completed river walk at our Riverfront Museum campus. We're also near completion of our $75 million water system improvement plan that's through our water utility. This means vastly improved water quality for our citizens and businesses. Congratulations are also in order to our Public Works Department for winning the 2011 American Public Works Association Illinois Project of the Year for their work on that project. Congratulations. We're also building a very strong and sustainable partnership with the Rockford Airport Authority, with Winnebago County and other regional public and private partners to ensure the long-term growth and job creation at the Rockford Airport. Through this effort, we now have a proposal that will leverage $5 million in local funds to build a $9.5 million capital project, rebuilding main roadways to the airport and eliminating a great deal of blight around the airport. We've also commenced generation-shaping projects like the rebuilding of South Main Street and West State Streets through our partnership with the state of Illinois. And we've begun, with the great help of the state and Governor Quinn, the construction of the new Morgan Street Bridge. This began with the demolition of the old bridge and will culminate in a new bridge that will become a link for cars, trucks, emergency vehicles, bicycles, and pedestrians. All told, we'll invest another $82 million in road and infrastructure projects through our local funds and the leveraged state and federal funds between now and the end of 2016. This will mean hundreds of jobs for the construction trades and the economic transformation of critical parts of our community. We're making our future. We're making it a better future. And I think Alderman Hervey explains best why these investments are so critical.
The Morgan Street Bridge is about 100 years old, and we've been working on this project with IDOT for just under 12 years. This is truly going to be a transformational project. It's going to be a catalytic component for the revitalization of the South Main Business District. The bridge had gotten to the point where our fire trucks could no longer go across the bridge. It's going to have an arch, which may be necessary for engineering purposes, but it also adds an element of beauty, an element of design structure that will also lift the neighborhood. The bridge is going to get not just a facelift, but an access lift from east to west with those four lanes. It's not just a street or an infrastructure project. It also brings revitalization and economic development to neighborhoods.
Every time you ran across the bridge, I'd have to pick up a car over here at the shopping center, and I'd have to go all the way around downtown, and then downtown, you know, you got your one ways and stuff. It makes it very, very inconvenient. I think this is going to awaken a lot of people that are in this area already to fix up their properties better. This project's going to be 2 to 3 years, but if we stand here 5 years from now, I bet you'll see a whole different South Main Street. I think this is going to be our chance to have a comeback.
From a funding standpoint, if you want to demonstrate that my tax dollars are working, give me something like this that's going to be a lasting monument for the next 100 years.
Thank you to Alderman Hervey, our entire city council, and all of our partners at the state, federal level, and local level. When we take the initiative and we drive projects, we'll get a lot done. And our efforts to improve our community and grow a strong city also include continued investments in economic development and tourism. We're moving forward with a regional vision for reclaiming first in the youth sports market. The plan involves multiple investments designed to grow jobs and revenue in our hospitality industry through new and enhanced youth sports facilities, including a $10 million indoor multi-sport venue downtown along the river. Part of the funding for that project will come from the $8 million River Edge Redevelopment Zone grants made possible through the state's capital plan. Our city council is also charging the way in supporting the redevelopment of our older commercial and retail districts. Through the Eden Fund, we're building networks of neighborhood-based partners. We're planning together instead of apart. Eden will help entrepreneurs grow an idea and grow a business. And despite these challenges we've had in our economy, it's been outstanding to see many of our local businesses expand over the last year, including BE Aerospace, Rockford Toolcraft, Hamilton Sunstrand and Woodward, among others. And of course, who could forget our great gratitude for the huge boost our region is receiving from the expansion at Chrysler. We're also very pleased that our Discovery Center Museum was again recognized as one of the nation's top children's museums. I've been also honored recently by Governor Quinn to be named to be a member of his Export Advisory Council. And I was proud to travel with him to China this last year in a trade mission. I look forward to sharing our successes and ideas with others across the state on how to grow our state's economy by improving exports. During these times of challenge, Rockford is stepping up to innovate and to grow. But pioneering innovation isn't really anything new for our community. It's the story of our past, and it's going to be the story of our future. But I'd like us to hear now about one of those very special stories from our past that I know will inspire our future.
James Henry Breasted changed the way we look at the past. Some call him the model for Indiana Jones, but Indiana Jones never changed the world. He was known as the first United States citizen to have a doctorate in Egyptology. His is a story of a boy born in Rockford, grandson of Thomas Garrison, one of our city's first settlers, growing up to become friends with sheikhs, kings, and advisor to presidents. He popularized the then uncommon notion that civilization started before the Greeks and Romans, centuries before, from an area he called the Fertile Crescent. As a sign of respect, he was asked to be at the opening of King Tut's tomb, and later, perhaps more importantly, helped be the mediator to the Egyptian government. He convinced his friend, John D. Rockefeller Jr., to fund his building of the Oriental Institute in Chicago, an institution so important it landed him on the cover of Time magazine.
And he became the preeminent historian in America. His legacy lives on in Chicago and all over the world. Everybody knows the name Breasted, even in the Middle East.
He took his nurture from our valley. In death, he returned to it. But near him, in his sleep, is a symbol of that far valley of the Nile, whose study he devoted his life. Enduringly linking, through the memory of a great man, our little Midwestern river and the Nile. At North Main and Auburn, under a stone kindred with the tombs and temples of Egypt, let us not forget our pledge that his monument and memory and spirit will be revered as long as our river runs to the sea.
These stories of our past are important because they can help inspire us to action today, inspire our new stories for the future. And the story we're telling right now is one for which we should be very proud. It's a story of a community that is investing in itself through capital projects and economic development because this community believes in itself. We're building the bones of a healthy and prosperous city. In fact, although our sales taxes have been down, we've been able to stretch our dollars further because our contractors have lowered their bids to stay competitive. Unfortunately, our general fund that pays for police and fire services has not been able to do the same. As I've said many times before, while the city's revenue base has gone down, unfortunately, we're left with arbitrators from the state that have at times forced substantial pay increases on our taxpayers. We've responded as best we can to these challenges by working and looking throughout our organization for alternatives for service delivery that will lower our costs while maintaining or improving our service. And underlying all these efforts to improve our monthly operations meeting known as ROCSTAT. You've heard me speak of it many times before. It's our continuous improvement system. It ensures that each and every month we review our progress openly and with transparency. I'm proud of the work that our City Council and our staff perform, and I'm proud to demonstrate each month that we will adjust our management to respond to the changing conditions that we face. This approach allows you, our citizen taxpayers, to monitor the details of our operations. This is, after all, your government. This approach also helps us to understand when we can adjust our efforts internally to improve our outcomes. And one of those areas is our City Council's recent investment in testing two quick response vehicles, or QRVs for short. We began deploying these vehicles in January as an alternative to our fire department to respond to a medical emergency. Under the old way, the only equipment we had to accompany an ambulance to the scene of an emergency was a large fire truck. The continuous running of these very expensive vehicles is a tremendous cost. So far, the results of our tests have been outstanding. Not only are the new QRVs saving money, the smaller and more agile QRVs are arriving at our medical calls on average over 50 seconds faster. Now, thank you to our fire chief, Chief Bergston, City Administrator Jim Ryan, our City Council, and our firefighters for this innovative effort. Congratulations also to our fire department for achieving national accreditation. Chief Bergston, your entire team in the department do a great job, and it's wonderful to be recognized for your accomplishments. Thank you. I'm also very proud that our City Council has made the decision to switch to leasing our vehicle fleet. Our funds simply have not been sufficient to buy new equipment to keep up with the continuous use of our vehicles. Our police, public works, and fire departments never stop. That's part of our job providing emergency services. That's also why our vehicles take a beating. Over the next 3 years, we'll completely convert our fleet. We anticipate saving about $1 million in annual maintenance. We also will reduce our fleet by over 100 vehicles. Most importantly, we'll have a plan in place that is sustainable and will ensure that we can provide necessary emergency equipment for our citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, our City Council also made the decision recently to outsource our street sweeping operations to also improve efficiency and effectiveness. Now remember, no city employees were laid off by the decision, and as a result of this decision, we'll create 6 new spots in our forestry division. And the move comes at a vital time. We now face a long-term battle with the emerald ash borer. By the accounts of other communities, it will mean the loss of most of our city's 14,000 ash trees. And that number does not even account for the ash trees owned by private citizens and other governments. This is another example of how we must pool our resources to combat another challenge. Now, when I was elected in 2005, our health insurance fund at the city was underwater. We were drowning with a fund deficit of over $3 million. Our path to improve has not been easy, nor is it over. But I'm happy to report tonight that our efforts to adjust the pricing of our plan has helped us reverse the trend, and we now have achieved a fund balance, a positive balance of $4.5 million. Part of our effort to reach those goals and improve has meant forging partnerships and collaborations. The city partnered with Winnebago County, for example, to jointly analyze and combine our purchasing power for pharmaceuticals. This effort has reduced costs and saved the city over $3.5 million since 2006. Moving forward, our goal in our health fund is much more important than just saving money. Our goal is to improve the health and wellness of our city employees, their families, and frankly, the entire community. This is why we implemented a wellness program with a volunteer team of city employees. That team has developed specific goals and paths to wellness. And while the journey is long, their efforts are already helping to preserve lives and reduce costs. Our local health and wellness challenge, however, is one shared by the entire nation. We have a national obesity crisis that hits home in Rockford. And in fact, if you haven't heard, I just learned recently in a published Gallup Health Index study
that we are the fourth most obese community in the United States. Again, not something to be proud of. But I refuse to let these results define us. We can't ignore them, but they shouldn't define us. Instead, our goal should be to create a healthy Rockford network, a network that supports the health and prosperity of all of our citizens. This can't just be a marketing campaign. It must be a bold vision that will apply focused effort. But to succeed, we must first build a state and national reputation for healthcare excellence. Second, we should support our current healthcare jobs as we work to nurture new jobs in this industry. We should offer advanced education and certifications in healthcare and wellness education. This will allow us to expand from our existing teaching hospitals and our opportunities at the University of Illinois College of Medicine and our new pharmacy school. This will also allow us to push forward and create a community culture of health and wellness. And we must ultimately identify real solutions that help our employees stay healthy. And our preliminary research shows, for example, that a worksite-based health clinic could save the city over $900,000 in the first 3 years of operation. And if we partner with other public employers on an initiative like that, our savings could be much higher. To accomplish these goals, we need to start by using the aggregated power of our city employees to provoke positive changes to our health system delivery. Over the next few months, I'll be asking government partners, business leaders, and health and wellness providers to help us chart successful strategies so that healthcare becomes a defining industry for our future. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud of our efforts and successes to improve, but I know we can do more. Unfortunately, we're hampered by significant state law barriers that prevent us from moving forward. And please, let me remind you. First, we need to appreciate the legislative changes that happened in 2010 to the state's pension system for future city employees, but we need to know that it's not enough. Reforms to the pension system must also impact current employees like myself. Second, we must change state law so that our elected city council and not the fire union gets to decide the minimum staffing levels of our fire department. Our taxpayers elect city council members with the expectation that we make the best decisions, balancing the cost concerns and public safety needs of our community. The existing law undermines that authority. Third, we must clarify that a community's ability to pay in the context of collective bargaining is based on current revenues so that an arbitrator can't induce a tax hike by awarding out-of-line pay increases. And finally, we must repeal the 2007 anti-substitution law. This state law artificially raises the cost of our fire service, preventing cities like Rockford from incorporating part-time staffing. Please contact our local legislators and state leaders to let them know that you support giving elected council members the ability to manage taxpayers' resources. And while you're at it, be sure to thank those legislators for supporting a change in state law that will enable us to put next week the electric power aggregation referendum on the ballot. A yes vote next week on electrical aggregation will allow our city to negotiate on behalf of our citizens to bring lower cost solutions for our citizens. It's a chance for our residents and small businesses to save an estimated 15 to 30% on our energy costs. It's just that simple. If you vote yes and later decide you don't want to take the city offer that we've negotiated, then you're free to change your mind. There's really no downside. This is a great example of the savings we can achieve when our citizens are given the authority and ability to come together with one voice. I ask that you vote yes next week to save money on electric power. My friends, one of our greatest continuing challenges is the city's violent crime rate. While we've seen major improvements in our overall crime rate over the last 10 years, our violent crime rate has grown. Responding to our high violent crime rate is even more frustrating and difficult because we're down over 20 police officers due to the recession from a high that we were at 306. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm energized by the efforts of our regional law enforcement partners to help us, to respond with us to the immediate threats to our community. In 2011, we began a partnership with Winnebago County known as Operation Clean Sweep. Our goal is to do together what we can't do apart. But by working with multiple agencies, we're able to deploy a substantial and consistent response to the chaos of drugs, gangs, and violent crime. I want to thank Sheriff Myers, Chief Epperson, Chairman Christensen, and Regional Leader Mike Dunn for helping to forge this alliance. We worked as a team, and that effort will continue. In 2012, our plan will include a specific focus on career criminals. We'll also continue to rely on our citizen leaders who have participated in our Citizens Police Academy and our Citizens Assisting the Police program. And thank you tonight to newly appointed Citizen Coordinator, Volunteer Joe Owen, and the many other volunteers that work in the program. Together, they've already logged over 2,000 volunteer hours, and they have no plans for slowing down. Thank you. And by the end of this year, we expect to have our geographic policing pilot district ready to go. Again, our approach and philosophy is clear. We're decentralizing our department to get into the neighborhoods, to bring our people as close as possible to the citizens that can support them, closer to the citizens that we serve. And finally, I'm pleased tonight to let you know that we have a much more consistent relationship with our criminal justice partners to help analyze crime and respond to our crime rate. I want to recognize Chief Judge Joe McGraw and the County Board Chair Scott Christensen for their commitment to support a team approach to sharing data and improving outcomes. Thank you for your partnership. The city's focus right now is on individuals who have been arrested and are out on bond, parole, or probation. Our goal is to work with the state and local partners to reduce recidivism. We want adult and juvenile ex-offenders to improve their lives. We also want them to know that we will not tolerate repeat offenses. My friends, our city's customer service map, which you see behind me, provides a visual summation of the areas that originate calls for service from our police and fire departments, from public works, and from neighborhood code enforcement. The map shows areas of the city with highly concentrated problems. Those are the problems that are dark on the map. But the service map by itself does not tell the whole story. It may trigger a response from our team, but it does not explain why calls are happening. It does not address the root cause behind the problem. The truth is there's a well-known larger crisis looming over us, and we don't need a map to explain it. Our Rockford Public Schools are key to our future, but we know too well the challenges they've faced. While many of our public schools suffer from physical deterioration, their even bigger problem comes from the underlying poverty and disorder that has plagued the neighborhoods in which they're located. We know that many children from these troubled neighborhoods have not succeeded, and we know that the failure to thrive in school, the failure to achieve a high school diploma or at a minimum a GED, means limited job prospects and a likely path toward poverty or crime. Since the 1970s, Rockford's seen an average household income decline substantially compared to our national peers. We in Rockford have also seen what's happened across our nation. There's been a widening gap between rich and poor. And in Rockford, many of those poor wind up in the concentrated areas of our community, living in public housing or Section 8 rental voucher housing. And without an education and without a job, there are limited prospects for these individuals. We can reverse the cycle. We can create a different ending to the story, but we must directly face the facts of a failed public housing system and a failed human services system. Far too often, our bureaucratic support for the system intended to help has simply enabled individuals to stay in poverty. And instead of providing a pathway out of poverty, the system has actually sustained poverty. Frankly, we need a community intervention. The enablers need to stop enabling, and the codependent need to become independent. And for our efforts to succeed, we need to work as a team, which means a consistent and productive partnership with our Rockford Public Schools. As I've said many times before, as go our schools, so goes the city of Rockford. Thankfully, I can say tonight that we've come a long way. We're creating a positive working partnership with our Rockford Public Schools. And I want to personally thank the school board, the administration, and our Rockford teachers and staff for their mutual commitment to that improved environment. Thank you. Now, while there are obvious conflicts and issues, especially during a time of collective bargaining, there have been tremendous gains, and for that, I'm extremely grateful. And because of these improvements, I'm able tonight to discuss progress towards a long-term community partnership. I fully endorse the Readiness Rocks goals that Dr. Willis has identified with his board, and we will do everything we can to help the district to achieve these very outstanding goals. First, we've had several meetings already with the district since Dr. Willis laid out his agenda. At its core, our strategy is simple. We will connect our neighborhoods and our schools and will leverage city and community resources. We will not let institutional boundaries and silos prevent us from providing the pathways and the support needed for students, families, and schools to thrive. This may sound intuitive and logical, but in the world of government, it's not. It's actually pretty revolutionary, but it's a revolution that has a lot of followers. In fact, many of us in this audience had the chance to hear a solution discussed this last summer, a discussion from Jeffrey Canada, known for his groundbreaking work with the Harlem Children's Zone. Many of us heard Mr. Canada. He discussed his approach when he spoke this past year, and that approach is actually grounded in a community school movement that has taken root in many parts of our country. Our team has already identified the pilot geographic areas where we will focus our initial efforts. We're currently sharing data and mapping our challenges and resources. And we have a great start with our partners at the Rockford Housing Authority, the Workforce Investment Board, and the City Human Services Department. These organizations have already begun a coordinated pilot effort at Blackhawk Housing Development. They're encouraging success through an approach they call Rebuild. They're working to help families achieve self-sufficiency. And through our partnership with the district, they're also working with Beyer Elementary School across the street to ensure that both parents and children have a plan for success. Our work is just beginning, but we're already seeing new ideas emerge. We're challenging ourselves to do together what we can't do alone. For example, we're asking ourselves, how might we bring together our challenged public library system with our local public school library system? How can we share costs? Or how might we partner between nearby schools and the community resources around it to make sure that every parent has a chance to pursue a GED while he or she has their child in school? And we know that success is possible because there are many great stories to tell us that it is possible.
My mom was attending school when we were down there. She had a plan. She wasn't going to stay there. She wanted to get out of there. Even as a young guy, I watched her and obviously looked up to her. And when she told me that she was getting her education so she could move on, even in dire straits like we were, it made me feel that if she could do it, anybody can do it.
I had a very difficult background. My mother was a drug addict. I was brought up in foster care. And I was taken from Chicago and moved to Rockford because my mother moved to Rockford. My children know about my background. I try to lead my life as an example for my kids, that education is the only way out. Oh, I have other goals. I'm not done yet. I'd like to become a manager for one of the Swedish American MSO clinics. I would like to obtain a Master's of Science in Healthcare Administration. And I still might not be done then. I'm a learner, and that's a lifelong thing, it's to learn.
There's people that come out of here that are actually diamonds in the rough. It's an important thing for them to believe that education can get them moving along. And every time I see a young guy out there or a young girl out there that says, hey, you don't know how it is for, you know, a young black person to be down here in Fairgrounds, I can tell them opposite. I was there. I was there.
We know it's possible. We need to believe. And we also believe in the district's plan for preschool for all as a gateway, an opportunity to start a child on a positive path. We support that goal, and we're deeply exploring how we in the city, through the city's Head Start program, can partner with the district's early education program to ensure that all children within our community school zones have the opportunity to participate in early education. I also share the district's goal of ensuring that every Rockford Public School student is college and career ready. I serve on the policy board for Alignment Rockford, and Alignment Rockford and its partner organizations are supporting the redesign of the traditional high school. They're working to bring to our schools the outstanding professional expertise and talents of our local employers and our community members. I want to personally thank tonight John Anderson and Lori Priest from Alignment Rockford and all of the leadership of the team for their great work. Please keep it up. We also have some great friends to thank from Nashville, Tennessee. The Friends from Alignment Nashville pioneered an approach that is truly groundbreaking, and it took a lot of courage. And over the coming months, District 205, their board will evaluate the feasibility study for the high school redesign. And with the goal we have today, the program will launch in Jefferson High School next year. Let's certainly wish them the very best. I also support the district's goal of improving the physical environment of our schools. Thus, moving forward, the City of Rockford, our planners, our Public Works Department, will from now on develop coordinated capital investments in and around our community school zones. Whether we're building roads or sidewalks or eliminating neighborhood blight, we will achieve better results when we plan together, when we work together. And frankly, our model for success is already there. We're blessed to have outstanding leadership from our private sector partners, partners like Heartland Church. Heartland has been showering blessings on our Rockford Public Schools for several years now through ShareFest. I could say more, but why don't I let them and their work speak for itself?
God has created each one of us with a unique design, a unique potential, and a unique story. But our personal story is not the whole story. It is part of a much bigger story, the story of our family, our neighborhood, and our school, and the story of our business, our church, our city, and the story of our world. To live our story with others, we have to choose to do life together. And when we choose to do life together, it releases the greatest potential in all of us. When we choose to work together, we begin to change the world around us in ways that we would never have expected. Our environments are transformed and hope is restored. Rockford ShareFest is a great example. Through Rockford ShareFest, over 120 businesses, churches, civic organizations, and trade unions have come together to restore and revive 9 Rockford Public School buildings. The positive impact of the building transformations and re-engagement of our community into our schools have been felt region-wide. When we do life together, we are inspired by one another to pursue excellence. And when that excellence is achieved, we celebrate those successes. This past year, Rockford native Chad Knaus, crew chief for 5-time NASCAR Sprint Cup champion Jimmy Johnson, was invited by Rockford ShareFest to come back to Rockford to encourage and inspire the students of West Middle School and to share his leadership lessons with 200 business leaders from around the community. Not only did we get to hear from Chad and celebrate his successes, but we also got to celebrate the Rockford dance team phenomenon, Fatally Unique, who made it to the final rounds of America's Got Talent. When we do life together, we make sure no one is forgotten. For the past 4 years, high school students at Heartland Community Church have partnered with local businesses and hundreds of volunteers to create an event called Night to Remember. It is a night filled with tuxes, formals, limo rides, good food, great music, lots of dancing, and smiles everywhere. A paparazzi awaits each of their arrivals at the building and cheers them on as they walk down the red carpet. All of that is simply for the purpose of celebrating life. Everyone's life. And when we do life together, we make the world beyond our walls a better place to live. Students, teachers, and administrators from local high schools in the region partnered with Rockford ShareFest, Kids Around the World, Heartland Community Church, and many other businesses and volunteers to pack more than 1 million meals to be sent to feed the hungry in Haiti after the devastating earthquake in January 2010. As we do life together, we let our stories become part of a bigger story. We learn how to believe the best, hope the best, see the best, and bring out the best in one another. And then celebrate our collective success.
It's amazing what we can do when we work together. Congratulations to Heartland Church for their continued gifts to our community. It's a great model and one which we'll take throughout our community. The final Readiness Rock, College for All, is a goal that I've discussed for several years. I've shared statistics many times on the failure of our community to attain college at acceptable levels. You've heard my call for Rockford to become a college town through the concept of a city university education network. You've also heard of my support for the Rockford Promise Scholarship Fund. I'm absolutely energized tonight by the growing shared vision of our Rockford Public Schools that every Rockford Public School student should have a chance to attend college or career training after high school. I'm even more excited by the idea that every Rockford student can pursue a world-class post-secondary opportunity right here in our city. I must admit to you tonight, however, that my interest in building our own local higher education network goes beyond my job as mayor. With my fourth child on the way, my wife Stacy and I have become very serious about college savings for our children. So I ran the numbers recently, just perchance, that if each of my children were to get accepted to my alma mater, the University of Notre Dame, what type of money would we have to start saving today to make their dream possible? Well, let me tell you, at $54,000 a year for tuition, room and board, and fees today at the University of Notre Dame, the cost for us to start saving today to be able to do for my children what my parents did for me, that would cost us today, if we started right now, over $90,000 per year. Do you know what my salary is? Obviously, it's not a cost that we can afford. It's out of reach. And it's hard as a parent to know that you can't do for your children what your parents did for you. You might think that a school like the University of Illinois, where I went to law school, would be a lot cheaper, subsidized and supported by taxpayers. Well, tuition and room and board there is now $24,000 a year. So my wife and I would have to save, if we started today, again, for each of our children at their current ages, based on the projected rate of growth of inflation in higher education, we'd have to save over $46,000 a year starting today for them to attend the University of Illinois. And remember that slide before when I talked about the state moving its pension obligations down to local high schools, local elementary schools, where they're doing the same thing for colleges. So we expect the increase in costs for the University of Illinois to grow even faster into the future. In either case, saving that at that level, I know it's out of reach for my family. I know it's out of reach for most of Rockford families. So what's the alternative? I think we know it very well. And they dangle it out in front of us each and every day. Take out a loan. Take out a loan. But frankly, I refuse to allow my children to go into a modern form of indentured servitude. Think about it. Indentured servitude, a passage to the new world at a price. Today, your passage to opportunity, in most cases, everyone says, is a college education. Unfortunately, what's happening now to many individuals trying to pursue that promise of a better life is debt. By the way, there's one category of consumer debt that you might guess is not eligible for discharge in a bankruptcy. Yep, college loans. So the debt loan system could haunt you literally for the rest of your life. But I'm here to tell you tonight that if we have the courage to believe, we can envision an alternative, but it will not be easy. We can create our own affordable higher education solutions in our city. While we were disappointed last year to learn that Embry-Riddle University would not be opening up a residential campus, what we did learn was that we have a tremendous commitment from local employers to support higher education. And our experience with Embry-Riddle and their stated goal to continue to expand their work here has led us to a lot of innovative ideas. How can we build our own local higher education network that takes advantage of all of the parts that are already here and keeps us from having to beg someone to do for us what we can't do ourselves? Tonight, I want to congratulate Rock Valley College and Northern Illinois University for their commitment to take major steps. The Running Start program will allow dual credit opportunities for students pursuing an engineering degree. I want to thank the Rockford Area Economic Development Council also for their leadership in reaching out to create partnerships with local employers to support those students. And I believe deeply that if we can build a local higher education network for engineering, why can't we do that for every single program that we desire to learn? Anything that we want to do, we need to teach. Anything that we do well, then it's up to us to teach. And so tonight, I challenge us to begin a different thought process. And let's start with something we do so well. Let's think of another higher education initiative focusing on an area that we have incredible local talent and assets. Tonight, I'm asking us to envision a downtown academy for the performing arts, the visual arts, and the digital arts. And I want us to begin this initiative by inviting our local arts educators, our arts professionals, and our arts supporters. It's so fitting tonight that we're here in our Coronado Theater to think about this vision. We need to evaluate the vision and determine how we can best leverage our many great arts resources to build world-class arts education, just like we'll have world-class engineering education right here. I'm asking for help from our leaders, like the Rockford Symphony Orchestra, the Dance Club, the Coronado Performing Arts Center, the Coronado Concert Association, RAVE, our Rockford Area Venues and Entertainment Authority, Mendelssohn Performing Arts, the Music Academy of Rockford, Canterai, the Art Museum, the Arts Council, the Element, Rock Valley College, Rockford College, School District 205, and our local private schools, and the list could go on. And I know I've missed someone, and I apologize if I did. We have so many great arts professionals, so many great resources in Rockford. We have many more members of our community who actually utilize the skills they learned in the arts to help them do great things in their creative careers. And we have the stated goal of our Rockford Public Schools superintendent to improve fine arts education for our children. All the pieces are there. While the vision will be a challenge, I'm inspired by the many great stories we have of talented artists, just like we have those talented engineers. I'm inspired by artists like Boylan graduate Dan Lindsay, who co-directed the recently received Academy Award winning Best Documentary, Undefeated, whose score was written and produced by local artists Miles Nielsen and Dan McMahon. Congratulations, gentlemen, on your great success. And as a special gift tonight, we will be watching the entire film starting right... No, I'm just kidding. We're almost done. Now, I do want to thank them for their great success. Their success should be an inspiration to us. It should let us know that no matter how daring our dreams are, they can be achieved. We have to develop our skills and talents. Most importantly, we have to believe. And that's why I'm inspired also tonight by a local Rockford College student and musician, Vince Shirelli, who has a strong understanding of our community, our family. He's an artist. He's a student who's already giving back.
Father, and everybody knows him as Vince the Tailor. His name is also Vince Shirelli. Came here from Sicily in the 1950s. Started Vince the Tailor. His tailor shop was on Broadway, and right across the street was Vincent Shirelli Publishing Company and Vincent Records.
I have a grandson that's same name Mike, and I'm very proud of him. He got a beautiful voice.
It's hard for me to play his songs sometimes because it's very emotional for me to play his music, especially with him there. And I love going through his old songbook that it's a napkin with lyrics written on it. Maybe I'm gonna finish that song 30 years later. Many people thought he was a great musician, wanted him to write songs for them, and my grandpa was invited to the Merv Griffin show, but he was afraid of flying and traveling, so he didn't go to that. In Nashville, he met a lot of cool people. Glenn Campbell was actually the session guitarist on his record before he became the notable Glenn Campbell that he is now. And they actually have one of my grandfather's records in the Country Music Hall of Fame, as it ended up on the Hee Haw show, because people said, you should write country music, and he didn't really like country music. He wrote a song as a joke, but in reality, it turned out to be probably the biggest hit he ever had.
One day, I was over the tailor shop, and a car stopped in front of the tailor shop.
And my grandpa tells the story of them
looking like a bunch of bums,
having like a hole in the middle of their car, and the kids like having no shoes, and coming in, giving them a demo.
Buddy, you're gonna publish your songs? So I said, well, who you are? And they told me, what we call ourselves, the Jackson Five. Then it was nothing to me at that time.
My grandfather just passing them along to his friend in Motown named Barry Gordy.
And he wanted me to invest $2,000 in the album they did. I figured out, he told me, says, if you do that, I guarantee you in 2-3 years you're going to be a rich man. I figure I can be a rich man when he's so many years in the business and he still hasn't got money to press the record.
And my grandpa, he just kind of laughed and said, that's what everybody says.
Oh, well, never be jealous of anybody because that's no good. And when you're happy for everybody, everybody will be happy for you.
Well, I resurrected Rockford College Radio, formerly known as WRCR. I look up to what he tried to do, and I'm trying to do the same thing with this radio station. I, along with being a musician myself, like my grandfather, I try to promote my music through the radio station, but also have a show called Rockford Originals, where I play Rockford music from the 50s to present day and try to help promote these songs that may have been lost in time or new people that are trying to get their music heard by somebody, and there's not a lot of avenues for that anymore, but I'm trying to help a lot of people out.
And someday maybe you're gonna do something with the music too, because of the publishing company and the record company, I did give it to him. He's the one he owns now, Vincent Record, Vince Carelli Publishing Company. And I'm so proud to see these people grow up like that and be so nice. Especially him, Vince, is a very good guy.
We have a very special city with a lot of very special people in it. I want to thank Rockford College for recognizing the talent and giving someone like Vince Shirelli, a very active student, a chance to bring back their radio station. There's no telling what he'll do and what we'll do in the future. My friends, in so many respects, we really are on our own. But that's okay, so long as it inspires us. As long as it convinces us that we need to produce
instead of waiting for someone else to save us. We need to make our own future. And if we come together in our community partnership to transform how we pay for our roads or transform how we purchase electricity for our homes, then why can't we come together also as a community to transform our efforts in education, economic development, health and wellness, and poverty reduction? To honor our God, to honor our parents, to honor our history, and to honor our great country means that we don't let any crisis that we face cause us to lose hope. We don't panic. We don't diminish our dreams. Yes, we will have to change, and change will not come easy. But those changes can be great for us. Those changes, the disruptions to our world that we know, just may help us to create a better world, a better Rockford. The truth is, we can have a lot healthier, safer, more enjoyable, and more prosperous community than we have today. It can even be better than the good old days. But the only way we can do it is if we stay confident in who we are, if we remember who we are, if we stay committed to improving ourselves, and if we have the courage to make our own future, to tell our own story. My friends, this is our city. This is our story. This is our time. And we'll end this evening tonight with another story of Rockford's future, told by another local filmmaker, Greg Yokley. He believes in Rockford in a way that all of us should believe. Let's watch that film, and I congratulate you all. Thank you for your citizenship, and I look forward to our work ahead.
No matter how you got here, you're here. Whether it's home or a pit stop, Rockford, Illinois is where you live. Once an industrial utopia like Detroit, of all the cities in America that were affected the hardest by the recession, we rank 9th as one of the worst cities to live. This means nothing to a city that knows how to fight. Our trailblazers taught us to overcome adversity. When the world told you girls can't play baseball, we gave you the Rockford Peaches. When America said no black man could own land, we gave you Louis Lemon. And when you, the people of this city, you, said we can never amount to anything, we gave you Cheap Trick and Fatal Unique. So here at Film and Die, we would like to recognize those who stayed and helped. Those who saw potential while others fled. We want to thank you and the people around the community who do a service every day to help this city get back to the positive notoriety it once had in the 40s and 50s, or even better. Because if this city is anything like the people in it, anything is possible. So next time you're out of town, if someone asks you where you're from, don't tell them Chicago. Tell them I'm Rockford. Rockford. Rockford.
Thank you, my friends. Good night.